everybody. Welcome back to Intersections. This is week 2 of our podcast. I am joined by the one and only Mike Hintz.
There is only one that I know of.
Yeah. I haven't met another. If I do, I'll be sure to let him know he's the inferior one. So, because that's how you love people.
That is. And then you'll have an intersection. Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. Yeah. So last week we talked about just evangelism and making disciples, what that is, and kind of historically what that's looked like for the church, and maybe how you feel about it and how you feel when somebody says, we're going to talk about evangelism, and the overwhelmingly positive feelings I'm sure you feel.
Oh, indeed.
When it comes up.
Indeed. And I think one of the things that we ended with last week was this, hey, we want you to look for opportunities. And we would expect that if you are listening to this before your group meets together, that this is your reminder. Hey, I need to be ready to share those. I was having this conversation with a coworker, and this came up, and I thought, this might be a good opportunity. Like, we love that. If you haven't shared it, if you could pause this recording right now, if you're in group, and share it. But every week, we're going to end with a simple place of application. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you the why behind that before we jump into this week. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the wise builder is the one who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice.
Yeah.
The foolish builder is the one who hears these words of mine and does nothing with it. So we want to be wise, and I think it's very easy in our society to hear things and never do things with them. But we are to be both hearers and doers.
Yep.
And so that's where the challenge comes in every week. We want to make it doable, but we want to make it a little bit of a stretch for you.
Yes.
And so, but as we get ready to go into, we establish the why. Jesus asked us to make disciples. This whole relationship with God and God invigorating us to be intentional about our relationship with others is the context of the why. This is how the church is built. This is how the kingdom of heaven is populated.
Yeah.
Like, this is his why. This isn't my why. This is why he wants us to do this. And it makes sense why he would do that, because he's not just because he's brilliant and he's God, but it logically makes sense. Today, we want to talk a little bit about, okay, like the how, when, and what behind it. And you were talking to me about Exodus chapter 3.
Yes.
And there's this aspect to when you went to start your youth ministry. At Papillion, you and I had conversation after conversation about an important theme that I think really applies. And I'm going to let you jump into this.
Yeah.
And I can look up where we're at in Exodus if you want.
I got it right here. I thank the Lord for smartphones. Sometimes I pray, Lord, curse my smartphone. Curse it.
He's like, it's already been cursed. What are you talking about?
Yeah. When I first got hired, you asked me like, hey, how would you communicate your heart, your vision, you for the youth group? And that got me to the place of going, you know what? I really want students to feel seen and heard and known, because if I'm honest, anytime God has shown up for me in my life, doesn't matter what I was asking for, doesn't matter what the prayer was or how he answered, it always comes laced with the same message every single time. It's that I see you. And I hear you, and I know you. I know what your problems are. I know what your pains are. You are important to me, and I love you.
So he didn't make you feel awkward, squeamish, and like you weren't good enough?
Yeah.
That wasn't his goal?
Yeah. Even when he would answer, when I was asking for something, and he answered with a negative and saying, no, the answer is no. But it came with that, I see you, and I hear you, and I know you, and it gave me peace about the answer. It wasn't what I was asking for, but I was okay with it. It honestly reminds me of like Hagar in the desert when she's like, Sarah's like, oh, you had a kid, like I wanted you to, and now I don't like you, get out of here.
Right? Yeah.
She goes in the desert and the Lord shows up and she's like, oh, this is the God who sees me. She says like 6 different times through the well and the naming of her son, this is the God who sees me. And God says, go back. And nothing changed between like Sarah or Sarai at the time wasn't suddenly a better person. The difference was God encountered her and made her feel seen.
Yeah.
And even though she wanted to leave, she was instructed to do the opposite, but she was transformed to do what God had asked because he saw her.
So you were reading in the book of Exodus.
I was. So yeah.
This moment where Moses, you know, we hear about it, and maybe if you've watched the movie, you have that scene where there's this burning bush and this call, and you're like, this is where God calls Moses out of obscurity and makes him the deliverer. And it's like the, you hear the Rocky music in the background. You're like, yeah, Moses doesn't even know what's coming. But you had this whole different revelation about it.
Yeah. I was reading Exodus, and it's Exodus 3:7. He's approaching the burning bush. The Lord speaks to him. And verse 7, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned, or I know about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians.
And it jumped off the page.
Yeah, yeah.
Slapped you in the face.
Slapped me in the face. It's the first time I saw in one verse, technically I read part of verse 8 when he says, I've come down to rescue them, but in one verse, God literally says, he has his word speaking to Moses, I have seen, I have heard, and I know, depending on your translation. I have observed, I have heard, and I know. Like, and that spoke to me because I was like, I have heard him say that to me. I have said that to students. I have said that to leaders. We slapped it on a t-shirt because I believe it so much. And here is God saying it to Moses, to all of us. It, if anything, affirmed, this is the voice of the Lord. This is who God is. He's the God who sees and hears and knows me.
And I think what's really interesting is this is something that is common across the board to people everywhere.
Yes.
Like, we come into the world searching for a face.
Mm-hmm. Is that Andy Crouch?
Yeah, it is Andy Crouch. So that we're seen. We want to see someone. We want to connect with somebody, and we want to be known.
Yeah.
And we want to be heard. So we look for a face, we cry out, and we long for that being known.
Yep.
And it never leaves us.
Yep.
Like, we go to church and we want to know, was somebody here? Did they expect me to show up?
Yeah.
We, you know, go on a date. We don't want to get stood up. That's like the negative. We want to be met. We want to see. And so our whole life as human beings, this little narrative's going on in the background. We want to be seen. We want to be heard. We want to know. And we want to see people. Yeah. And we want to hear them. And we want to know them. And when we put intersections in that kind of a context, well, it changes the whole conversation.
Yep.
Because it's not about doing some right formula, walking them down the Romans road, having the right two questions so that you can ambush people. But all of a sudden, it becomes about something different entirely.
Yeah. Yeah. I was transformed when I felt like God sees me. And so it felt very natural to reason, well, if I want other people to transform, like, then I want them to feel seen and heard and known by God. And I didn't even think of it that way. Like, I didn't get to it like, let's see, I want people to be transformed. So how do I approach that? It was like, I know how good it felt to have that experience, and I want that for other people.
Yes.
So how can I do that? How can I create an environment for them to feel that way from the Lord, but also, how do I cause other people to feel seen, heard, and known? It's kind of an obscure thing, but Dale Carnegie wrote a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I read it a long time ago. I hated the title. I thought it was going to be a manipulative book. Basically, he said, everybody wants to feel important.
Yeah.
Successful people make people feel important because they are.
Right.
And I was like, oh, dang, that'll preach. That's really good.
Yeah. It's actually brilliant. Yeah. And so I think one of our questions is simply that. When was the last time that God made you feel seen, heard, and known?
Yeah.
And honestly, when you think about that, you don't have to go way back to the beginning. You can go, when was my last encounter? When did God speak to me about something simple like, hey, I've got this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you right now. Like, when he speaks to us, it's usually in that category, like, of seen, heard, and known. I know what you're going through. It's the Moses burning bush experience. We just have it in our own moments with God.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't make sense that he wouldn't want that to be part of the equation when we're representing him to other people.
Right.
And so that's your first question. And then maybe who was the first person that made you feel seen, heard, and known? Or like, tell us a story of somebody that made you feel seen, heard, and known. I guarantee you that person was important to you.
Yep.
And so what's our last question?
Last question. What can you learn from these memories that you have, these experiences? Literally, think of, when has God made you feel this way? When has somebody else made you feel this way? And what are the commonalities there? What is modeled for you that you can then do for somebody else or turn into an actionable thing? There's a lot to learn from the experiences. So learn from them, glean from them.
So now we want to prepare you a little bit for the challenge that you have this week. Mm-hmm. And there is some intentionality in this.
Yes.
Because one of the biggest things you want to be clear on is how you're going to share your story.
Yeah.
And if you just wait for an opportunity to happen and then you try to think about how to put your words together, sometimes in the moment, you can have it a little bit jumbled. And yeah. So taking, this is no different than Les or Micah speaking on a Sunday morning. They take time to prepare something intentional that they want to say because they want it to be understood and they want it to be clear. And so one of the aspects that both Cole and I have done in our lives that has been super beneficial in this area is to know how to tell your story.
Yeah.
And it's simple. Like there's three, I'll let you like in, there's three ways that we want you to tell your story, but I want you to unpack that for us.
Sure, yeah. We did this exercise my first time in college, and the challenge is tell your story, practice telling your story in three different settings. The first is 30 seconds. You're on an elevator with somebody, they're three floors away, and you get the chance to share your story, like before Jesus this, after Jesus that. What would you say in 30 seconds? The next is you've got 3 minutes with somebody. What would you say in 3 minutes? And then I think for us, we did like a 10 minutes. How would you share it in 10 minutes? And if you're extracurricular, you can do, what would I say in a whole sermon? But you know what? That's for you and your dog to practice.
Right, right. Yeah. But honestly, I think that's really good. Knowing beforehand, what would you share? And putting together your story with some intentionality will help people connect with your story.
Yep.
And it's not hard. You don't have to do research on what is my story. And right. You don't have to include Bible verses in there.
Right.
Because we will overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony.
Yep.
Like our testimony is our story. And so if we want to know like our story, we just need to pause, think, reflect, and clarify.
Yeah.
And then practice it. And so that's your challenge for this week is to get your story in three different time segments, 30 seconds, 3 minutes, and a 10-minute version of your story. When you get to group next week, you're going to take time, and we're going to go around the circle, and everybody's going to share their 30-second story. And I think it's going to be a great way for us to start our next group, so we look forward to it.
Yep.
Have a good week.